Stuff this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in this place. And like we sang, did you know that He's better than you dreamed?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a really good dream about the Lord?
Yeah.
If you haven't, I pray that you have another one.
Yeah.
Or you have one. But He's even better than that because it's real.
Yeah.
It's not just a dream, but God is real in this place, in your life this morning. And I want to just share a few words. God, it's only 11 o'clock. That's awesome. That doesn't mean that I'm going to preach for an hour. But I want to have time for us to pray for one another. Amen? Because God's just moving. And during worship this morning, I felt like the Lord said, you are secure in my heart. You are secure in my love. And I believe he was asking us to lay all our insecurities at his feet.
Yeah.
So why don't we just do that? Lord, we just give you our insecurities. All of those places where we feel like we're not good enough, we don't measure up, God. We just lay them down at your feet because you are God. You are everything.
You are.
So we give you our insecurities, Lord. Thank you for that this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, one of my favorite figures in the Old Testament is Abraham. And I spoke on this about 3 years ago. And I feel like the Lord calling us to revisit that. And check out this painting. Somebody made this painting. I was just looking online. You see, of Abraham. And I just feel the Lord reminding us of something that for whatever reason is just going to be really key in this season that we're in right now. And it has to do with this thing called inheritance. Okay, because I think like Abraham, our lives are on a journey to somewhere, right? We're on a journey to a place or places. And like Abraham, a lot of times we don't know what that is. But you're taking a step somewhere.
Yeah.
So for example, Abraham's father, who was not a believer, Abraham was a first believer, first generation believer in his family. Is anybody in this room like that? Like you're the first generation in your family to believe as far as you know. Well, that was Abraham, and his father had moved the family from down the Euphrates River, roughly Kuwait, southern Iraq, right there near the Persian Gulf, the city called Ur. Ur was 250,000 people at that time. Can you imagine? So they left the big city, and they headed upstream, upriver, up the Euphrates River to this town, a smaller town called Haran. And the Bible says that in Haran, they stopped. But one day, God showed up to this man named Abram at this time. And we're going to get to that place in the story in just a minute. But because I believe that the secret to a successful trip, so to speak, to our journey in life is just like Abram. He heard the voice of God and he obeyed quickly. Everybody say quickly. Whew, that's hard to do sometimes. But he heard God speak and he obeyed quickly. And I think even as a church, as a community, as a family, we're on a trip somewhere. We're on a journey. And I believe God's asking us to look at our inheritance. Because as Abraham believed, it was credited to him as righteousness. And so I see some things. I think we all see some things for us as a community, and I want to encourage us to look at those things. The Lord says, you have. Just tap the neighbor and say, that's you. That's you. Don't forget. There's nobody absent in this room. There's nobody that it doesn't apply. You have an inheritance from your forefather Abraham. If you want it. If you want it. Because, see, Abraham had a couple grandsons. Who remembers what their names were? Jacob and Esau. One of those grandsons didn't want the inheritance. The Bible says that he despised his birthright, Esau. And so what I see in that is it's available if you want it. He's a good father. He's not going to kick us out. He doesn't hate us. Yet at the same time, there's an inheritance available all along, but he's not going to make you have it. He's not going to force you to want it. He's not going to go beyond your will and your desires. But I believe that this inheritance is a beautiful gift and actually a secret to the victorious Christian life. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's life. There's, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. Let me just hold on and try to stay away from as much sin as possible until I can get through the pearly gates. There's that view of the Christian life. But then there's the view that part of it is what Laura was prophesying and talking about this morning. Right? It's Luke 4, 18 and 19 mandate. And as you go, lay your hands on the sick. Freely you see, freely give away. It's, you're not on defense, you're on offense. Take the ball and go. Shove it down the enemy's throat. Get it across the goal line, because there's a lot at stake in this generation. And what does that have to do with victory for me? Everything. Because when I am so God conscious on my Luke 4:18, that mandate, I don't have time to think about my dirty, rotten sin. I don't have time to think about it. And I see this is an inheritance from Abraham. Now, has anyone ever received an inheritance from a relative? Yeah, a few people in the room, you can relate. I've heard about some people who actually had inheritance, but they didn't know about it for a long time. In fact, there's a case from North Carolina history. I shared this before, too. Forgive me if you've heard it, but it's the gold doorstop in North Carolina. Does anybody know what I'm referring to? Well, John Reed, or Johannes Reith, was a Hessian soldier who, the Hessians were German mercenaries that were hired by the British during the Revolutionary War. He was originally a Hessian soldier who left the British Army near the conclusion of the Revolutionary War and came to settle near fellow Germans living in the lower Piedmont of North Carolina. It was down south of Charlotte area. Most of the people dwelt on modest family-run farms in rural areas where they raised small grain crops such as corn and wheat. Now, this is pretty hilarious. The life of farmer John Reed would have been long forgotten had it not been for a chance event one Sunday in 1799. On that day, Reed's son Conrad found a large yellow rock in Little Meadow Creek on the Reed farm in Cabarrus County. Anybody from Cabarrus County? Nope, not today. Sean is. I know Sean is. This rock reportedly weighed 17 pounds, and for 3 years it was used as a doorstop at the Reed house. You know what's coming here. Everybody in the room knows what that yellow rock was. This 17-pound yellow rock. I don't know. Just hold the door open with that thing. And in 1802, a Fayetteville jeweler identified the gold nugget. He purchased it, though. I don't understand this part. This is just the story. The jeweler purchased it for $3.50.
No way.
1/10 of 1% of its true value of $3.5 million. So they figured out what they had. In the following year, farmer John Reed began the Reed mining operation by forming a partnership with three local men. And to make a long story short, by the end of the first year, they had unearthed 28 pounds of nuggets. Using only pans and rockers to wash the creek gravel, the part-time miners recovered an estimated yield of $100,000 by 1824. I think, like Farmer John, a lot of times much of the church has never realized their spiritual inheritance exists. We're just using it as a doorstop. Gets the doors open. Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, it's like it gets the doors open, but we don't realize that we're not just panning here for gold. The gold has already been revealed on Christ, the solid gold rock, I stand. Yeah. This is more valuable than anything you could ever imagine. And Christ is a continuation of a story that started with a man you're all related to.
Abraham.
Look here. Paul alludes to this in Galatians 3:9. This isn't the main text this morning, but just one verse. Look at this. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing. Everybody said the same blessing. That's too exciting to not say it. The same blessing. It's not a different blessing. This is the gold rock that we were using for a doorstop. It's the same blessing Abraham received because of what? His faith. So what did we receive this morning? For the second time, I just want to touch on three gold nuggets. All right? Just three gold nuggets. But, you know, that can be worth like 3.5 times 3. It's like 9 point, over $10 million. I'm not trying to put it in dollars and cents. But just to make a point, is that it's the same blessing that Abraham had received. The first gold nugget is righteousness.
Amen.
Because of one simple thing, not by anything that you've done, but because of your faith. Now, the Lord began in Genesis 12, verse 1, just to rehash this story to make sure we're all up to speed. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, his idols. His father was an idol worshiper. And go to the land that I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. This next phrase is a little bit mind-boggling. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. God didn't want to just make Abram like an influencer on Instagram. He didn't just want to make him rich. This isn't the prosperity gospel, which is a false gospel. No, but he wanted to bless him for a purpose. And that was that he could be a blessing to all that he encountered. And I believe the same is true as his children, because the truth is God wants to bless us to be a blessing, as not just a promise to us and our descendants that we remember, but it goes all the way back to Abraham in order to fulfill the promise to Abraham. Now, remember, he was made righteous because of his faith. Let me skip a couple chapters in the story from chapter 12 in Genesis to chapter 15, verse 1. Are you guys okay? Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, don't be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great. But Abram replied, oh God, I just relate so much with this. The Lord appears to you, and the first thing he's got to do with is like one of that first or second song, deal with my fear. I just have so much fear. Fear of finances, fear of the future, fear, you know, whatever. You fill in the blank. And the Lord's saying, I'll protect you. And Abram replied, but how, God? What good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant at my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of your servants will be my heir. Then the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, and I think this is what's illustrated in that painting, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And here's what is repeated all throughout the scripture, all through the New Testament. And Abram believed the Lord. And the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Paul goes on in Romans and says, it's very clear, Romans 4:1, Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scriptures tell us Abraham believed God And God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Now let me skip down to verse 16 in Romans 4. So the promise is received by faith. It's given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham's, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Is your father that big?
Yeah.
Even when there was no reason for hope, has God ever given you a promise and the opposite happened? It's just like I got that prophetic word and the exact opposite began to happen and I needed a reason for hope. Here it is. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. I guess so. If you were 100, that would be the case. And so was Sarah, his wife's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. And he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. There it is again.
Yeah.
And when God counted him as righteous, and here's the good part. It wasn't just for his benefit. It was recorded for your benefit.
Yeah.
It was for our benefit too. Yeah. Assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe him.
Come on.
The one who raised Jesus from the dead. Now, of course, this is referring to righteousness for our salvation. But I'd like to submit to you that if you'd study the life of Abraham, if you look at the covenant promise of inheritance, it's also far more than that. It's also referring to living our victorious Christian lives by faith. Where does that faith come from? As Romans 12 says, by hearing God speak. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? The word of God, just like Abraham. So, for example, the Lord spoke to me about two different matters that I really needed to hear about. First of all, through our guest speaker, David Harwood, last week. How many people heard God there?
Yeah,
yeah, like 90% of the room. Go back and listen to that online if you weren't able to be here. Don't throw in the towel, the Lord said. Take up the towel and serve and wash one another's feet. I just want to say that people often wonder, well, what are the different ways that God speaks? And this is an example of one of those. When the Lord puts a word in anyone's heart who's going to deliver it to the church, it's a practical way that God speaks. I'd humbly like to submit to you that he's speaking to you right now. That's not, forget about me for a second. The Lord wants to deliver through his words and through the mouths of other people, including pastors and ministers and those of the fivefold. He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you about issues of your heart, about issues in your life. Take whatever is being said on Sundays or whatever. Take what's being said seriously. Like, take stock of them. Write a few things down that the Lord prompts and see how it's reflected in the other ways that God speaks to you. Because in addition to Sunday, I was having a conversation with a friend on Tuesday. And as that friend is speaking to me, I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because what he's saying is not an echo, but it's related to what God shared through David Harwood that I heard on Sunday. And then it's echoed, and then I open my box. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
These are the viral ways that the Holy Spirit speaks.
Yeah.
Side note, there's a counterfeit Holy Spirit, and it's called the bots. the bots out there on the internet. If you watch one YouTube video, guess what you get in your feed?
Yeah.
You get the next one. And you're thinking, this is all over the YouTube. Well, yeah, maybe. But really, the bots know you. They're studying you. They know exactly your demographic, what you're interested in, what you look like, who you like to look at, what is going on. And so they're feeding you on all your social online activity. They're feeding you. I'm not here to preach against that. I'm just saying, isn't that interesting? It's just like the Holy Spirit. Not exactly. It's a counterfeit to that. But what I'm saying is, it's an illustration, really. Let's use it that way. Is the Holy Spirit is speaking through the pastor. The Holy Spirit is speaking through the written word. The Holy Spirit is speaking through an inspired conversation that you didn't even know was inspired. The Holy Spirit comes in a prophetic utterance. The Holy Spirit, pay attention. Why? Because when we hear him speak, then faith enters our heart and it's credited to our account for right living.
Yes.
See, right living, the wrong thing at the wrong time in the wrong heart becomes the wrong thing, because God wants to bless us. But he also knows that the very blessings could destroy us.
Right.
Because, I don't know, if I got a 3.5 million gold nugget today, would I be ready for that? In other words, how many know it's a great responsibility to be entrusted with great financial wealth like that? All right, I don't know if this is coming through. Help me, Jesus. So righteousness. Okay, here's the other thing. Righteousness by faith. You have to. Righteousness means in right standing.
Praise God.
Like, his spiritual account was credited to him as in right standing with God, not because he had been a good boy. You need to understand that our righteousness is through Christ. Yes. And in the same way, it's not based on what you've done right or wrong. It's based on what we said. He is holy. 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 People are like, man, how long are we going to sing this song for?
All of eternity,
because the angels and the saints around the throne, they're just, it's 24/7, baby. It's like, and the more it goes, it's like we entered into throne room worship this morning.
Yes, yes.
It's like refreshing to kind of have acoustic unplugged. You know, a simple guitar and just be able to. And I love the full band and the pounding drums. And as much as I love that, there's something refreshing too about, like, let's just peel it back a little bit, because he is worthy.
You're worthy.
He is holy.
You're holy.
He is worthy.
You're worthy.
He is holy.
You're holy.
And that righteousness got imputed into you when you believed.
We received.
Yeah, when you receive that righteousness. Is he saying that it doesn't matter what I do because God's going to see me as righteous? No, that's not what I'm saying, because it very much matters what you do. Because what you do, while it may not send you to hell right now, it can make your life a living hell.
Yeah.
In the sweet now and now. It very much matters what you do. That is not what grace is at all. Grace is actually empowering. It empowers you to live a righteous life. It's a working together with the blood of Christ over our lives. Are you guys all right? I just think it's important that it's critical.
Yeah.
We have to understand where our righteousness comes from.
Yes.
Because there's the accuser of the brethren.
Right.
That's saying, well, you know, Tracy could see that guy, but you know, I spoke to you about that guy and you didn't. You know, and then you're just like, oh, I'm so bad. You know, and then this guilt and shame, or you know, some sin, or some, you know, you're screaming at your wife or your husband or whatever it is, something that's just hampered you. It's constantly coming, and I know this because I've done this for years and years, is you're receiving this voice that says, when you're good enough, then you can. You see, and it's actually the reverse order. Because I found that God has put me on offense with the ball. I'm carrying it like Heisman, you know. I'm carrying that ball. He's put me on offense, and it's the best defense that I could ever have.
Yeah.
But yet, when I become so sin conscious, and like, oh my God, I better not sin. When I become so sin conscious, it's like I cannot see the kingdom in a sense. I can't see what God's calling me to be and to do, because all I can do is focus on my sin. Are you saying that sin doesn't matter? Absolutely not. What I'm saying is God wants to break his church free from this mentality that our righteousness is really by our works. It's just not what the Bible says. All right, that's a spiritual gold nugget. I hope somebody received it. Here's a spiritual and a natural gold nugget. Everybody say land.
Land.
Land. Then the Lord told him, Genesis 15:7, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur. That was the southern Euphrates city of 250,000 that his dad is an idolatrous city, a wicked city of the Chaldeans, to give you this land as your possession. Verse 18. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, I give this land to your descendants all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River, the land now occupied by the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, Jebusites, and Muscovites. All them. All the ites. The Lord has brought many out of places in order. Oh, yeah, this is something I wrote down in my journal. I feel like the Lord has brought many of us out of places in order to give you the place where you currently are. Not many people are from Chapel Hill. There's a few of us. A lot of people are from Durham or Chatham County or wherever. And I believe that prophetically the Lord is speaking to us spiritually and physically about land or places. How many people in here believe God's spoken to you about physical land that he wants you to have? Yeah. All right. Well, Lord, we just pray for it right now. By faith, we call that land forth. Lord, if you have property for these, Lord, we just ask you to open the doorways of heaven, Lord, but most importantly, impart your faith into their hearts right now. Thank you, Lord. Whew, this is funny to me. It's not funny in a comical way. I just feel the joy of the Father. Yeah. Like, Father's up there going, he's just up there dancing. He just can't wait to see how his kids are going to take him at his word. Because in our generation, so many lack faith. Again, I'm not talking about greed or prosperity. I'm talking about just hearing the voice of God and wanting to take him at his word. Well, that was goofy, wasn't it, Anna Grace? Strike that from the video. I can't dance. That's the problem. It's okay. It's on there. What spiritual land has he called you to occupy? You know, it could be a place of your business or, you know, education, a sphere of education. I say that because there's a lot of us in this room this morning and in our church that aren't here today who have been very active for decades and decades about the land of education. I know my mother-in-law, Janet, was expressing how passionate to this day that she is about that. And I believe the Lord sent, I'm giving you that land if you want it, if you believe me. Let's see if there's anything else on that. What do we need? So Abraham's father brought them up from Ur to the Euphrates to Haran, but stopped there. Okay, yeah, here was the other thing. Our spiritual fathers, and maybe your physical fathers, I don't know, but our spiritual fathers have moved us on to some good places. Now we can't stop. Do you hear me? So our spiritual fathers and mothers have moved us to some good places. Now I hear the Lord saying, don't stop.
Don't stop.
It's time to keep going.
Yeah.
It's time to possess new lands by the Spirit. Yeah. And there was this slogan in our church for a number of years where, and it's like a generational phrase, is that one's generation's ceiling would become the next generation's floor. Do you hear that? One generation's ceiling, like this is as far as we can go spiritually, will become our kids' floor. And now we're the kids, and then we have kids, obviously. And all that just keeps going. This is the nature of the kingdom. The kingdom is like a little mustard seed, you know? It's like a small plant that just keeps growing and growing and growing. It's not getting less and less and less. It's growing and growing and growing. And I feel like it's important right now as we think about spiritual and physical lands. Like, let's keep going. All right. What do we need? Faith. We have that available as an inheritance from our forefathers. Faith has eyes. See with the eyes of faith. All right. The third nugget is family. I believe God wants to bring a great awakening to the families of America. A few people are first generation believers in here. I believe that the Lord wants to just open the gateways of heaven for the restoration of the family. How is that going to happen? By faith. As we see the kingdom come across America, we're going to get the kingdom out there and families are going to be restored. Now, you know, what's so powerful, too, about the clan of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Esau is they had issues. I mean, it's almost comical to me how even in Romans that we read, it says that and Abraham without ever wavering. And I'm like, well, now, wait just a minute. Did Paul forget about Hagar? Because... he did waver. They did waver a little bit. I don't know about you. I find solace in that. I've wavered too. But what God records isn't just based on what you do or what you've done, but on his righteousness. That is even the record of the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. Is this is how God remembers, is based on what he said and based upon the faith that you've accepted. And in our families, remember when, I don't have time to go there, but remember when Abraham took his wife Sarah down to Egypt, God said go down to Egypt, and he was scared that the ruler would kill him because wife was so beautiful. I mean, I can relate with that, you know what I'm saying? Not that anybody's going to kill me, but. Yeah, you better say that. So he goes down there, his wife was so beautiful that he says, this is my sister. Until the Pharaoh or whatever takes it, whoa, then God gets him in trouble. He's like, what did you do to me? God's going to kill me. I don't think that was right. I think that was obviously a mistake. It was a lack of faith. You see, the great man of faith, he didn't even have enough faith that he could go where God told him to go and have his wife there as his wife.
Wow.
He had to lie and be deceptive. And then it happened again with Abimelech. And then... the sin of the father, Isaac, you know, marries Rebekah, and he goes down to what would become the king of the Philistines, named Abimelech, and guess what? He did the exact same thing.
Wow, generation.
He told Abimelech. So you see these generational sins being passed on. And then, of course, Jacob's name means deceiver, who was the patriarch. We got a patriarch named Deceiver. Now God changes his name to Israel.
Praise God.
The strength of God.
Yes.
He renamed because God makes all things new.
Come on.
God is a restorer.
Yes.
And what I'd like you to do is stand up for your family right now.
Amen.
And let's ask God to give us faith to believe even in those things that we don't see yet.
Yes.
We got family members in addiction. We got people bound by darkness. So we just ask you, God, in your covenant that you've made with us as descendants of Abraham, would you set free the liars in our family, God? Would you set free those caught in deception? Would you break off the chains of the lies off of them right now in the name of Jesus? God, we said set the captives free from addictions to false idols. Lord, we ask you, God, to restore our family line right now in the name of Jesus. Those who are lost in darkness, we said let your glorious light shine unto them. Those prodigals, those who have known and walked away, we say come home to the Father's house. Come to the Father's table. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can have a seat. So God is healing family lines. So we've got our righteousness by faith. We've got the land He's called us to inherit. And the story of God is always a story about family. That this is the Father's house. The Father's living room. Make yourself at home. Come seated at the table. This is what the Lord is really interested in, is healing these things in our lives. And in conclusion, Hebrews 11:8 says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed.
Yes.
When God called him to leave home and to go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. You ever felt like that? Man, God, I'm going somewhere. I don't even know where it is. Where am I going, Lord? He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land, God promised him, he lived there by faith. See, I mean, do you think that when you arrive wherever spiritually, physically God's calling you to go, that suddenly you've arrived and then that's it? You can just kind of shift into neutral, into cruise control because it's all good. No, there's always going to be a giant or two. There's always going to be an obstacle. There's always going to be, but even when he reached the land, he lived there how? By faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, his son and grandson, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind. I love that. God had something better in mind.
Yeah.
As somebody said, if the story's not over, if the story's not good, the story's not over.
Yeah, come on.
He has something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. See, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's inheritance is not complete without you.
Yeah.
Think about it. The promise was, as many stars as you can count, all of your descendants. We know that was fulfilled in Acts 2. I'm getting into a whole nother thing. But that is all of the spiritual descendants. So it really struck me the other day. Like, it's not just about me being blessed or to be a blessing. It is about that, but it's really about a promise, a covenant he made to Abraham.
That's right.
And so when you step into the spiritual inheritance, you're literally stepping in to a fulfillment of a covenant he made thousands of years ago. A promise that he intends to keep.
Come on.
And I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand in the way of that promise.
Yeah.
I don't want to lack faith in order that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so on and so forth, all of those after them, Joseph, all the 12 tribes of Israel, that they would not receive the inheritance.
Yes.
Amen.
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 All right. Why don't you guys stand with me? And if we could just have some folks come up here that feel that, like you can pray for people. Some of our ministry team. If you can come up here. I said, like, okay, it's only 11:36. Let's take some time right now. And whatever it is that God is either stirring in you or he wants to break something off of you, or you're like, hey, I just need a prophetic utterance over my life. I just need somebody to pray over me. I want you to just come up here and let's just take some time as we close to pray for each other. Let's just believe, because I can see around this room, I can see things, not specific things, but I can just see like these gold nuggets that God wants to release. And the gold nuggets, just like the parable, that story, it's there, but we don't know it. And that's what the body of Christ is for a lot, is to pray into, help identify, help you retrieve what's there all along. Amen? So I'll just pray a general prayer, and then you feel to come up here or pray around the room as you feel led. So Holy Spirit, we thank you for all that we have received. We thank you most of all that our salvation by faith is because of your imputed righteousness by the blood of Christ. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for all that you've given us in the natural and spiritually. God, we thank you that you've entrusted us with much. So, Holy Spirit, will you just come right now? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Move upon us. Move upon us. Speak. Lord, let your anointing come upon us to pray, to prophesy, to release, to equip, to instruct, to exhort, to comfort, to encourage. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, so be released. Begin to pray wherever you are or up here. If you need to go, be blessed. Enjoy this beautiful day. Isn't it awesome outside? Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen.